We shall now turn to the chapter we read in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll find our text in verse 13. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, mention is made in this chapter of the heroes of faith from Old Testament times. We're told about Abel, how he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by faith. We're told about Enoch, how he walked with God and pleased God, by faith. We're told about Noah, how he built an ark to the saving of his house, by faith. And then we're told about Abraham. Lots about Abraham. Abraham was the father of the faithful. Abraham stands out as a great man of faith. All these men of faith lived trusting, believing, hoping. The Messiah hadn't yet come, but they were persuaded that he was coming. And they trusted in the Messiah who was to come. Abraham saw my day and was glad. So Christ said. Faith receives and embraces the Lord Jesus Christ, a Saviour. And that was true in Old Testament times, just as in New Testament times. People weren't saved by works in the Old Testament, as some people think. They weren't saved by keeping the law. They weren't saved by the ritual of sacrifices. The blood of bulls and of goats cannot cleanse from sin. Man cannot by works earn the favour of God. The law only condemns us. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one Saviour. Ever since man fell, there's only one way to be saved, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, to the Greeks, foolishness. But to us who believe, the power of God and the wisdom of God, there's only one way to be saved, and that's faith in Jesus. And in Old Testament times, they looked forward to the coming Messiah. And in New Testament times, we look back to the finished work on the cross of Calvary. And these heroes of faith, we're told here, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. There's something here worth thinking about, worth considering, meditating on tonight. Are you a stranger in this world? Are you a pilgrim? Would that describe you? Would those who know you think of you as a stranger? Would the people who work with you regard you as pilgrim? Do you fit in with this world? Or are you obviously a citizen of heaven and very different from the people around you? First point tonight then is that we're all on a journey. Life is like a journey, isn't it? Life is short, it's uncertain, some die young, some only hours, minutes, hours, weeks old, others a few years, others die in youth, some in middle age, some live to a ripe old age like our Queen, 96 years of age. Some live long lives. And yet, what is the longest life? It's really so short. It passes so quickly. Now, there's many pictures given to us in Scripture of the brevity of life. We're singing about it in the psalm, that our life is like vanity, emptiness, nothing. Or our life is like grass, Psalm 90, at morn it flourishes and grows, looking so healthy, so strong, the grass growing in the morning, cut down, at even it fades, how quickly it withers away. Or Psalm 103, for over it the wind doth pass, and it away is gone, and off the place where once it was, shall no more be known. The hot wind from the desert blows over the grass, and the grass shrivels up and fades away. Job speaks of life as being faster than a weaver's shuttle. Some of you will have seen weavers at work, how quickly the shuttle passes through the loom. And life is shorter than a weaver's shuttle, passing through the loom. James 4 verse 14 says, what is our life? It is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Think of the kettle boiling. You see the cloud of steam at the spout and clicks off. Where's the cloud of steam? It's gone. How quickly life passes. Some of the patriarchs lived hundreds of years. Methuselah, 969 years. Just imagine if you'd lived that length of time. And yet, what is that in comparison to eternity? Eternity goes on forever. So the longest life, even if you lived 1,000 years, is just a moment in comparison to the never-ending eternity. You and I are on a journey, and we're going to our long home. Our long home. We're going to be there an awful long time. We're here a little time, and then a long, long time. A time that will never come to an end. Time shall be no more. And where will that home be? Heaven or hell? And it's only the two places. The devil tries to pretend that there's a third place. You're not good enough for heaven, but surely you're not bad enough for hell. Surely there's a third place, some third state or category. But no, only the two. Heaven and hell, and as the tree falls, so shall it lie. The ungodly, came across this in Jonathan Edwards the other day, and it really made an impression on me. The ungodly are like a river flowing on into the lake of fire. What a thought. Your life like a river flowing, sometimes faster, sometimes slower, but always moving forward. A river flowing into the lake, the sea of fire and brimstone. No effort is necessary. There's no struggle involved. You just drift along, onwards, downwards, every day. Day by day, getting closer. When will you be in the lake of fire? Tonight? Tomorrow? next week? We don't know. But in comparison to eternity, life at its longest is terribly short. The wicked say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Well, yes. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. Now, the godly, they're also on a journey, but it's not like a river, really, is it? It's more like upstream. It's more a climb, isn't it? It's a struggle. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Think of heaven. The violent, said Christ, take it by force. It's a fight, a constant fighting, climbing up, as it were, upwards, 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 effort, stress, strain, tired, weary, fighting forwards, aiming higher all the time. A climb, a fight, a striving. For the righteous, the journey begins at conversion. Before that, you too had been drifting down to the pit. But then you changed. You turned round and you started going in the opposite direction, uphill. Well, what journey are you on tonight? Are you on the upward journey to heaven? Or doing nothing and carried along by the current to the lake, to the pit, to the darkness, to the lostness. So that's our first point then tonight. We're all on a journey, either to heaven or to hell. The second point I'd like to make is that as Christians, we're strangers and pilgrims. Now we hear of pilgrimages. For example, the Muslims, it's one of their pillars, pilgrimage. And every Muslim is supposed, if they possibly can, to take a journey to Mecca once in their life. And before the time of air travel, that involved them. If they were coming from Britain and a long journey, going through many different countries where they would be strangers until eventually they arrived in Mecca. Roman Catholics, they also have pilgrimages. Pilgrimages to Lourdes, and pilgrimages to Rome, and to lots of other places that they make pilgrimages to. And you and I, if we're Christians, we're pilgrims. We're on a holy journey. We're traveling to a shrine, to a place where we worship, a place of healing, a place of blessing. We're journeying to heaven. And as we journey to heaven, we're journeying through foreign territory. We don't belong here. We're citizens of another country. In some countries, there's racial problems, isn't there? People who belong to a different race, they suffer from racism. Maybe a person has black skin and they receive mockery or they're despised because of their black skin. Well, Christians too, they look different, they sound different, they have a different language. They're strangers and they're pilgrims and therefore they don't belong here. Now our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in this world, he was hated. And he said, if they hated me, they'll hate you too. And of course he's right. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if we don't suffer persecution, it's because we're not living godly in Christ Jesus. Marvel not that the world hate you. Before it hated you, it hated me. The world hates Christ and hates Christ's followers. And so we're subject to a kind of racial hatred because we're the children of God and we belong to another country. And those around us despise us. Remember the story of Pilgrim, Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, going from the city of destruction to the celestial city. Remember him going through with Faithful, going through Vanity Fair and the mockery and the ridicule and the abuse that they suffered, and indeed Faithful losing his life there, persecuted in Vanity Fair. Seems there's more Christians dying of persecution today than there ever was in the history of the world. Hundreds and thousands of Christians are persecuted to death in our day and generation. Our Saviour was hated and crucified, so we shouldn't be surprised if we are also despised. He says to us, you cannot follow me, you can't be one of my followers unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Self-denial, picking up your cross, the cursed cross, siding with the crucified one. In Genesis 23:4, Abraham says to the children of Heth, I am a stranger and sojourner among you. Abraham felt a stranger, and he had to beg of them a piece of ground that he could buy off them as a burying place for his wife Sarah, because he was a stranger. David, in that psalm that we read, Psalm 39, verse 12, says, I am a stranger and a sojourner. That was true of Old Testament believers. Peter says to us too in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Remember what you are. You're a stranger and a pilgrim. Be a stranger. Be a pilgrim. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You don't belong in this world. You're passing through. Be different. Remind yourself that you belong in another place. Don't be ashamed of your Father. Don't let your Savior down. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Don't be carried away with the stream, as the wicked are. Remember Abraham. He lived in a tent. He was looking for a permanent home. He couldn't settle in this world. Third point, a home prepared for us. We're told here that the patriarchs looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. He journeyed from Haran. He followed the call of God. He didn't know where he was going, but God was guiding him. And God led him to the land of Canaan, to the promised land. And he kept looking there for a permanent home, but he never found it. He couldn't settle down. He lived in a tent, looking for a city that would last, a permanent residence. He couldn't find it. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. city not in this world. A city in the world to come, the New Jerusalem. That's where we're going. A city that will last forever. A city that's richly blessed. A city of many mansions. Remember how Jesus put it. Let not your hearts be troubled, he said to his disciples. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's talking about the city, the permanent city, the place of residence for his people, not in this world, but in the next. And he's preparing that place for us. He went to prepare it. How did he go to prepare it? Going through Calvary. There would be no city for us, but for the fact that our Lord Jesus was made sin for us. He took our sins upon himself, took our shame, took our punishment. He suffered in our room instead. He went through hell on the cross of Calvary. He died. He was laid in the grave. And then on the third day he rose again, triumphant. And he ascended up to heaven. And there he's at the right hand of God interceding for us. He's our advocate with the Father. He's our mediator. And he's preparing a place for us. And when the place is ready, he'll come to take us to be with himself. He'll come for us, either in death or at his second coming. Let not your heart be troubled. I'll come for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He has earned this place for us, this wonderful city which hath foundations. It's founded upon the rock, and that rock is the rock of ages, and that rock of ages is Christ. It's eternal. It's got an eternal existence. It's going to go on forever. Remember Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, how he left the city that was going to be destroyed. The clouds of God's wrath were gathering over the city. He set off through the wicket gate, towards the cross, onward towards the celestial city, meeting many trials and troubles on the way, but always keeping on going. The Christian is to be a pilgrim, always journeying, pressing on toward the mark for the prize, running the race that is set before you, laying aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset you, anything that will keep you back, that will hinder you, laying it aside, pressing on, running, striving forward to apprehend that for which also we were apprehended of Christ Jesus. Remember you are a pilgrim. Remember you are a stranger in this world. Keep on going, making your way heavenward, progressing, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. From time to time, God gives us little tastes of the promised land, little moments of what heaven is like. He comes to us with blessings, and these encourage us. They're first fruits, as it were. They're like the grapes of Eshcol, which the Israelites could see and taste. A guarantee of the land before them, the promised land, an earnest of the inheritance, a first piece of that blessed city. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. Keep on reminding yourself that you're on the journey. Keep on thinking about this heavenly home that is before you. Richard Baxter, the Puritan, when lights weren't very good in his day, the time when it was starting to get dark in the evening, he used to spend an hour each day meditating on heaven. And as a result of that, he wrote a wonderful book, The Saint's Everlasting Rest. Great book about heaven. It's good to think about the city that is before us, to meditate on it. And when we see a Christian, a loved one, die, we're not to sorrow as others who have no hope. They've just got there before us. They finished the journey sooner than we did. They've reached the promised land. Their strivings, their pains, their temptations, their battles are over. They're now at rest. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We do not sorrow as others who have no hope. They've gone home. They're there before us. They'll be there to welcome us when we get there. For them, the striving and the struggle is over. We have been left great examples. There's all the examples in Hebrews 11, but there's the examples too of Christians that we've known ourselves, who've been faithful and fervent and loving and devout and zealous and persevering and fighting the fight and running the race. And they now have entered into the kingdom. Keep your eye on the finishing post, a home prepared for us by God. And then finally, Sometimes pilgrims forget that they are pilgrims. You remember how Abraham had a nephew, Lot. And if all we read of Lot was what we read of in the Old Testament, we would be somewhat doubtful as to his soul's salvation. But Peter tells us that Lot was a just man. That righteous man vexed his soul from day to day as he saw the wicked deeds of the people of Sodom. We're told about Lot, how he went with Abraham. He heard the effectual call, left Ur of the Chaldees, left Haran, made his way along with Abraham to the promised land. And there he prospered. He was blessed. He enjoyed worshipping God in Abraham's household. He had many blessings there. But he was becoming wealthy. And wealth was beginning to get a bit of a hold of him. It's amazing how money can become so attractive and such a distraction for the child of God. He desired more wealth. He already had great herds and flocks. And he looked towards Sodom and he saw the plain of Sodom, that it was like the Garden of Eden before the curse came. It was so luscious and rich. And he decided to pitch his tent towards Sodom. And along there he went with his flocks and his herds and his families, leaving the godly house of Abraham. He would have been so far so much, much better if he had given up his wealth just for the privilege of staying in Abraham's house. But instead, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then later on, we read that he moved into Sodom. And then we read that he had a house in Sodom. He left tents behind him. He had a house. And then we read of the fire and the brimstone that came from heaven and destroyed Sodom and destroyed Lot's house and destroyed Lot's wife. And Lot himself escaped only by the skin of his teeth. And he's pictured for us with his two daughters living in a cave. A sad picture, isn't it? He desired wealth and he got poverty. He forgot that he was a pilgrim. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you'll find it. And all these other things God will add unto you. God gives us many good things, but we've got to seek first the kingdom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and before long, unlike Abraham, he was no longer living in a tent. He built a house in Sodom. He settled down, enjoying Sodom, forgetting that it was a city without a foundation, and he lost all. What about you? Are you settling down too much? Are you setting your heart upon the things of this world, valuing too highly money, material things, pleasures? Are you a pilgrim? Are you a stranger on this earth? Or are you at home here? Are you aware that this is no continuing city? Do you hold lightly to the things that you have here? Yes, we're thankful to the Lord. He often gives us good things in life. And Abraham had many a good thing and enjoyable times. And sometimes we have good things to eat and nice places to live and comfortable homes and beds. But all the time, keep on reminding yourself, I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. This is not my home. I'm on a journey. The best is yet to be. These things are trivial in comparison to eternity. These things, I must not make idols of them. As strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Beware of things that grab your heart. Things that dominate your life. Things that distract you in the service of God. Things that weaken you as a Christian. Let us lay aside every weight, every distraction, and run the race with patience, with perseverance, with endurance and steadfastness, pressing on towards the mark, fighting the good fight of faith. Remember, you're a stranger and pilgrim on this earth. But if you're here tonight and maybe you're at home in this world and you know of no other place, and you're seeking no other place, and you want to stay here forever, remember, this world is temporary. It's uncertain. One of the interesting things that we saw, my wife and I, last week when we were on holiday in Hungary, was in Budapest, a memorial to those who had died of COVID. In the middle of a public park, there was an area with pebbles. pebbles with the name of the different people who had died, the age they were when they died. It was amazing to see all those who had died, thousands and thousands of them, there in Hungary. We don't know when COVID can strike or something else can strike. Life is so uncertain. There's Putin looking at his nuclear weapons, wondering whether he will use them in order to bring an end to this war in Ukraine that he seems to be losing. Life is uncertain. Make your calling and election sure. Don't rest content. Seek the Lord. Don't drift on like a river flowing down into the lake of fire. But stop, turn, repent, seek the Lord. And if you seek him, you'll find him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he says. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him, and he with me. Flee from the wrath to come. Choose the life of a pilgrim. Choose heaven, not hell. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee that thou hast given to us the Holy Scriptures to teach us, to guide us, to challenge us. And we pray, Lord, that we would learn from these things, that thou wouldst help us to remember what we are as Christians, to be what we are, to be different. Different from the wicked world around us, different from the Pharisees around us, different from those who are living for this life. Lord, we pray that we would be truly strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Help us, Lord, to have our minds focused on heaven, and like the patriarchs of old, to look for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, to seek that city and to go on all our life seeking that city, and then we will find it. So bless us then, each one. Pardon sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.